to say, yes, sir. And then the Bible goes on to say, hey, if you are obedient, you are calling the Bible, Alaba Shake Bredo Sokodo. Hey! Hallelujah! Ah, no, let's do this thing. Give me 1 Peter chapter 3. I feel the anointing to teach this thing.
If the light goes on, it's not enough. It's not enough for the light to go on. The Bible says the light shines. It shines. No, my light will not just go on. No, my light will not just go on. It's not enough that you cleared. You have to be excellent. Your light, no. It's not enough that you feel before. And he has put all things under his sight, at arm's length. Where has he put them? Somebody shout, it's under my feet.
All right, so I hope your pen and your paper are ready. I would like us to pray, and then I'm going to start. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, our hearts are open. Our minds are excited. Our hearts are jumping. We are ready to learn from you great and mighty things that you're about to reveal to us in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Open our hearts and our minds that we may get from this word 100-fold and nothing less than that. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. As every child of God present shouts, Amen. Yeah. I'm going to read a scripture and then I'll just keep talking until I say something. A scripture that really bothered me for some time. And I'm going to read from the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, perhaps. I'm going to read from the NKJV. And it says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, this is the part that intrigued me the most. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Then it says, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Why didn't he just say, we do not wrestle? Why didn't he just say, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil? And then he should have gone on to say, because we are fighting against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Why did he say, why did he have to say that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood? Because the point really is bringing people to an awareness that we are not fighting against. The point really, and I want you to follow me closely. The point really is to make people aware of a fight. The point is to make people aware of a fight. There's a fight that's going on. Now, this fight is against who? This fight is against principalities. It's against powers. Other versions say against spiritual personalities of wickedness. So why then bring in flesh and blood? Why not just say, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil? And then he says, for we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Why not say that? Why not say we do not wrestle against flesh and blood? And this is one area I want us to investigate. The reason why he said that is because, number one, there was a thought that maybe we are fighting against some of these human beings. It's these human beings who just don't like us. It's just these human beings that don't like us. It's just these human beings who don't like us. So sometimes you find that the focus is on people. The focus is on a person. And you find that you're not, instead of coming against the power that is causing the person to behave a certain way. Instead of coming against the power that's causing a person acting a certain way, you are now so focused on the person. So you find even your prayers are against, maybe they are not even against flesh and blood. Your prayers are just, Lord, look at these people. Look at these people. What these people are doing. that, you know, people are being used. So there is a possibility that we may focus on people. I mean, I've met people who are in environments where they just don't like them. They've tried everything. They've tried to please people. People don't like them. They've tried to be nice to people. People are just not going to be pleased. But you find it's not really the people that are not being pleased. Isn't it interesting when you study Joseph that no matter how bad, wherever he went, somehow he got promoted, even in the lowest of places. Imagine you are in group one. They push you to group two. Group two, you are still the captain. They push you to group three. Group three, you are still beating everyone. They push you to group four. Group four, you are still beating everyone, and you are still the monitor. I don't know if that example is relatable to some of you. But that was the life of Joseph. It means if you follow Joseph, there was something on Joseph that was making him come out the way he was coming out. There was something on Joseph that made him to have the kind of favor that he had. It was not just people or just his handsomeness. No, there was something beyond that. But then, here's the point that I'm trying to make again, that these forces work against flesh and blood. But let me also just let you know that there are people who are sworn children of the devil, and they are living and walking among us. And in these last days, we need to know that there are people who are actively working for the devil, and they know it. Now, they may not, some may know it, some may not know it, some may not even be Satanists per se. But there's just a level of permission they have given powers of darkness to work in their lives. I was showing my wife a certain producer of movies who I won't mention, because I was watching at what he was producing at first and I was saying, what's this? But then there's another production that he was going to do very soon. I just looked at the title and I knew. Now, when you look at this guy, or it's a lady, he's not a Satanist. He's just living life. But how come everything he produces somehow needs to have an element of perversion? How come he's just so inclined towards perversion? There are some people who've given themselves towards darkness, and they think it's normal. And we need to be aware that there are people who are children of the devil around us. Let me first explain something before you begin suspecting some people. Generally, what the Bible teaches in the book of John, chapter number 1, verse 10, it says, no, verse 12 actually, it says, but for as many as received him, that's talking about the Lord Jesus, it says, to them he has given the power to become children of God. Remember the famous question, whose children were they before that? You can't say they were just children. No, every children has a father. Every child has a father. So they were children of the devil first, because the element of sin which was passed down through Adam is the one that qualified them to be children of the devil and not children of God. So everybody who doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus is a child of the devil. Now, the level of influence that the devil has in different children that he has differs from person to person. There are some people who don't know that they are children of the devil, and it's an actual scheme by the devil for them to not know that they are children of the devil. So they think, I'm just a person, I'm just a human being. And the devil is cool with that. It's like people who don't know who their real father is. They may be thinking, this is my real father. That one is not my real father. Imagine they even know the other guy. They don't think that's their real father. There are people like that. And they're relating to this man. They think God is their father. But then their real father is that one, the devil. And the day, that's what the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I think. It says, but if our gospel is being hidden, it's being hidden in those who are perishing, in whom the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers.
It says, lest the glorious light of the gospel should dawn on them. That means they will repent and see. So when the Bible says lest, it means the devil is aware that the moment they will see, they will ditch me. So sometimes he doesn't even want to know. He doesn't want them to know that he is their father. Because the moment they will know it, they will run away. So he would rather they just think, ah, these people who always pray screaming and jumping up and down. Ah, anyways, I'm not that religious, you know. I'm open-minded. I know that kind of rubbish. Because the devil doesn't even want them to know. Again, I go back to that kind of analogy where there are people who are children of the devil. They don't even know. And then there are also people who don't know who their father is. I've met people like that. When they grew up at some point, their mother told them, this is not your real father. Who is my real father? I can't tell you. It means they don't know. But it doesn't mean that they just dropped from the heavens. No. There's a father somewhere. They may even reject him, but he's their father. So we've got many children of Satan out there. But his influence in many of these children, of many of his children, differ. See that? And then the Bible says, we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities. It means people were thinking, the people were the actual powers of darkness. Sometimes there are people who bear the certain way that you could think. They are the actual powers of darkness. Because they are a manifestation. You know, I will tell you this. There are people who are a true representation of the spirit that they carry. A true representation of the spirit that they represent. A true manifestation of the spirit that they represent. One time I sat in my chair and I began to look at a drawing. There's a drawing that Emmanuel did for me. And for the first time, I looked at myself and I saw God. I looked at myself and I said, wow, that's how God looks like. That's a dimension of God. But beyond that, I thought, for the things that I've been able to do, it's not possible if God was not with a man. For the people that listen to me, it's not possible if man was not with God or God was not with man. Even for the controversy I've had, that has attracted attention. Only Jesus used to have some kind of controversy that used to, you know. When he tells them that you are of your father the devil, then they all want to kill him. Or when you tell them things like, before Abraham was, I am. And they picked, there's a level of controversy which was, you know, attached to being God. And so when you now tell people not doing this is the sin, they react. Then now you know that indeed this level of controversy is only possible if God is with a man. Praise God. So, you know, I look at myself and I realize this is God. And I want you one time, just look at yourself. When you just look at yourself nicely in a mirror, forget when they told you they don't feel the same way. Forget all that. Forget you failed an exam. Forget that. Just look at yourself honestly. You begin to realize a whole human being blinking like this, breathing, and with a mind the way I have it. Forget the warfares. You realize that this is God. I looked at myself and I realized I am a true representation or a true manifestation of the spirit that I represent. Now, all of us are supposed to be a true representation of God's dimension that he allowed us to showcase. But some people have decided to host a different spirit whose image they are manifesting. That's wrong. That's wrong. And the first stage to people who are predisposed to the rulership of Satan are people who are not saved. I'll give you an example. I want us to look at the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. And the Bible reads, finally, brethren, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 1 to 3. NKJV says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly. That means the word of the Lord may run slowly. It's possible for the word of the Lord to run slowly. A number of things can determine how fast the word of the Lord comes to, how fast the word of the Lord runs or how slowly the word of the Lord runs. Remember the Bible says, Let the word of God dwell in you richly. That means the word of God can also not dwell in you richly. I was telling you last Sunday that it's possible for the word of God, it's very possible for the word of God to struggle to come to pass in your life because there are a number of factors. And one of the factors, like we looked at last week, is the presence of an intercessor, among other things. So, you know, the Bible also says at some point in this same city of Ephesus that they brought the books of magic and they bent them and they costed so much. And then afterwards, the Bible says, and the word of God grew mightily and it prevailed. And that means before it was not. Brothers and sisters, if we want to make impact with the word of God, we need to get engaged in prayer. If we want our ministry to spread, there are other forces that we need to engage. We need to engage the forces of marketing. We need to engage the forces of prayer. We need to engage the forces of being present to do evangelism. It takes our involvement to cause the word of God to come to pass, even in your own family. You just don't pray. At some point, you need to start talking to people. At some point, you need to start sending them flyers, inviting them to church, or sending them videos in the family group of what pastor said, even in your 2013 Material Boys group. Sometimes you need to post that post, you know, where pastor was preaching something. They may not respond. You may look awkward, but sometimes you have to force things because the Bible says snatching some out of the fire. People don't know that there's a fire. And if we want the word of God to run smoothly, there are forces that we must engage. Somebody say forces. So he says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified. That the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified. If you want your personal ministry to make impact, if you want your personal ministry to make impact, you will have to pray. And this is why we are praying. One of the things we're going to be praying about is that our ministry, the word of God that God has put upon us, should run swiftly. Somebody says swiftly. Should run swiftly. Once again, somebody says swiftly. Yeah. Now, listen to this. He says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified. Just as it is with you. Now, this is what I want you to listen to. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Now, he didn't say evil spirits at this point. He says that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. And then he gives a reason. He says, for not all have faith. This is serious. And I'm preaching to you a message titled Deliverance from People. Deliverance from people. He says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. Now, let me explain faith here. Faith is not talking about, in this context, is not talking about the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. No. He's talking about piety. Is talking about a sense, just that sense of religion, but in particularity, a sense of belief in Jesus Christ, the Christian faith, and everything it teaches and stands for. There are people who have never been taught love. There are people have never been patient with them. So they've grown cold. Jesus Christ said, in the last days, the hearts of men will grow cold and their hearts will fail them of love. That means they will fail to love. You know, the Bible talks about the works of the flesh. And when in Galatians 5:19, and when you read the, what's its version? The Message Bible Translation. The Message Bible Translation talks about, one of the works of the flesh it talks about impotence to love and to be loved. There are people that are just so hard to love. Like this young lady who was saying, I think some of you saw that video. There was this young lady who was saying, when people get too close to me, I begin to say they may injure me first. So before they leave me, let them betray them and hurt them first. So I leave them first. It's like they just have a mindset that everyone who's in their life is designed to disappoint them. So it has made them callous. It has made them hard of heart. So they've become unreasonable. Here's a good man that you're breaking up with because he's too good for you. Okay, why are you breaking up with him because he's too good? There's a doctrine that you have that maybe he's pretending. Okay, what makes you sure he's pretending? So you find that there are people by Temo Fifbantu, if you are Goma Okafe, they just want, if you are Goma Okafe Fifbantu, because they are saying those are the true colors. Like somebody told me, you've been dating with Mavis for 2 years and you have never had an argument. And they were a couple. And I said, no, we've never had an argument. Well, we've never always agreed on issues, but we're not quarreling, you know. And they said, no. You don't know each other's true colors. So they're expecting that we should argue so that we know each other's true colors. Whatever that means. And, you know, in the world, they've even, like, they've made it special. They've made it special. They say, oh, when we had our first argument. In the world, it's cute. I'm not saying you will not have differences, but don't provoke them. It's saying, let me get God angry so that I see what he... Do we have to get God angry so that we just see his true colors? Are the ones we are seeing fake? No. If you constantly make each other happy. So, anyway, there are people who just believe they have to see somebody's worst for them to live with them. But why? Why? Hey. That's wrong. If you can keep each other properly for the longest period of time and never see your wrong side, why see it? I don't want to see your negative side. That's why I'm coming in your life as a person who's dating you, because I want to make you happy. Also, you want to make me happy, so you make sure. No? So there are some people like this girl who was saying, I will live someone's life. It's just a mindset. They are unreasonable and you can't convince them. If you date them for 2 years or 1 year and you've never shown them that you are, that you've never shown them your weak side, whatever that means, then they think you are fake. They think you are fake. They want a stingy man. They want something that's wicked about a person. I know he's rough, but I like him. That's what they want. That's the world. They flourish in pain. So you find that even the way some other people, the way they express themselves, every time they're expressing themselves, they are just unreasonable people. They've had so many bad experiences. They've been betrayed too much that their hearts begin to fail them. They begin to fail them. Jesus said, in the last days, the hearts of men will grow cold. The hearts of men will grow cold. The hearts of men will grow cold. It's a prophecy. People are cold these days. You know, back in the day, what we'll do is, when a stranger is coming in the village and you notice that a stranger has come, you'd open a door to your house. And then you'd open your house and give them a place to rest. You know, like that woman in the Bible that saw Elisha and said, I know that that's a man of God. Let's build him a house. And they brought him in. These days, even men of God, you have to be extra careful. Extra careful. Jesus didn't tell us that us, our hearts should grow cold. He just warned us that men's hearts will grow cold. So we shouldn't be naive, even us. We should not be naive. In the name of love, you find some people are naive. There's even that saying in Bembat. In Soselwat, Uliselwa Dilengkwale. Kwalwaka buku kakwa senkete. Huh? You ever heard of Senkete? Let me explain him to you. Senkete was too nice. He was just welcoming people. Then he welcomed these people who had bed bugs that ate his children. His wife was telling him, you don't do this. Nkwale is a child. So we've developed some sayings now. Because the world has become just hard. Ifipu. Muntu aisaisa ne fipu. Okay, if you don't know fipu, forget about it. So now what you do? Back in the day, when you're driving and maybe you find people, they are stuck somewhere and it's cold. You open your door nicely, and they come in and you drop them along the way. These days, I mean, there's a case I read about where someone gave a lift to someone and they're suspecting that that's the person who killed them. But they were just trying to be nice to them. These days, I'm driving, and as I'm driving home, I'm seeing a woman with a baby. And it's night. And I say, let me stop and give this woman a lift. Then immediately I think, what if there's a strange man hiding somewhere and it's a plot? The moment you step out, then the man comes at you with a gun. Give me your car keys. Then they enter in the car and they drive it off. What are you going to do? It's a kind of road we're living. People's, they are thinking, they are divisive. They're divisive. They're always thinking, how can we harm? That's the kind of people. That's it. I don't know. That's why we need the gospel everywhere. They are unreasonable people. They are unreasonable people. Sometimes you find, like I've heard stories at Unza, where this person is just trying to cross the road at the boarding house. And people meet the person with screwdrivers, and baseball bats. And they beat the person. And when they beat the person, guess what they got? Only a laptop. A laptop worth 4,000 kwacha. You are willing to cripple, maim, and injure someone. That's the kind of world we're living in. There are people who are wicked and unreasonable. They are very fast to make money. In business, sometimes there's a patience that you need to exercise. Sometimes things don't come the way you want them to come. But you know, I've heard about people who are going out to make money. So literally they wake up because they went somewhere and they'll find money spread everywhere. And they paid the witch doctor a 2,500 kwacha. But when they wake up, they find a 10 million kwacha. The only thing they are told is you should never sleep on the bed. You should never sleep on the bed. And no one should enter your room. And you should always sleep alone. Okay. There are conditions. So people are unreasonable and they are impatient. They're just unreasonable people. This is why even you need to be careful. The level of scamming that this world has come to. There are companies, whole companies that specialize in scamming. There are whole companies that specialize in scamming. Specialized in scamming. That's what they do. They even have departments. They scam for a living. They use AI. They use advanced technology. They've got IT people who are very advanced, and all they do is just scam. That's what they do in that company. They've built buildings. They have built warehouses. They've built so many things just for purposes of scamming. That's what they do. So even as you are giving information outside, you need to be careful. You need to be very careful. When you are coming into an agreement or you are going to work for a company, do your due diligence. Find out, this company, what does it do? Who does it work for? Don't just say, oh, thank God. No, not in this generation. You need to be very careful. There are scammers everywhere. They call you and they tell you, come and work in Ndola. But before that, we want you to send us your NRC. We want you to send us your passport size photo. And all that data that you are giving them, they want to use it. They'll now be using it to scam people. And you suddenly just find the cops are at your doorstep. You use these details and these details to steal from that bank. You say, ah, me? Yes, you did. No, isn't this your NRC? Isn't this your signature? And you are shocked. Innocent people going into jail. It's an unreasonable world. And the world has become cunning. They are now getting into the wisdom of Satan. It's a kind of wisdom. It's called cunning. The Bible says the serpent was the most cunning beast that the Lord had made. It was cunning. And that's why it related with the devil. Because it was cunning. It was cunning. So we need to be very careful with how people are working. We need to be very careful with what we are engaging ourselves in. This is why one of the things you need a lawyer friend. Once, before you begin to get to sell something, be consult. Before you get into an employment contract, consult. Find out. This company, what is it about? What do they do? Consult. And you see, you find people, they are saying, oh, can we sleep in your house these days? Don't be like people in the old days. Don't be like people in the old days. You just open your door and you allow people to come in. No. You tell them, oh my goodness, it's full. I remember traveling to Lusaka from Kabwe, and we're with the people who were coming from the copper belt, and they said to me, we found a man with a bag looking desperate, looking for a lift, and we had space. And he says, oh, can I come with you? I said, ah, nah, you slap boss. For us, it's full. We can't accommodate another person. It's full because my wife wanted to lay down, Pastor Washes. So it's full. If these women want to lay down, then how are we going to accommodate another person? So to us, it's full. I would rather you tell someone, oh, here, get this money for transport. That's it. Oh, check there. There are transports that are happening there. I think you can pick up a vehicle or something like that. I'm just trying to tell you that the world has become unreasonable. The world has become very unreasonable. So you shouldn't be naive. You shouldn't be naive. Even before you get married to someone, be patient. Be patient. I'm not saying expect their worst case scenario. No. There's a litmus test for character. Just time. Just give them the next 1 year. Just give them the next 1 year to properly date. Just give them a year. Wait. In 1 year, and if you are prayerful, in 1 year, you will see. You will see. Remember how we are testing for colors? You take iodine solution. The moment you put it there, then all colors now you see. Ah, okay. Just time. Time and prayer. Beautiful. This sister is nice. She's an amazing woman. She's a cell leader, whatever. Just give her 1 year. Don't be in a rush, please. Your next 30 years is more important than Chikupa. Be patient. Because they are unreasonable people. They can pretend. They can pretend. So you need to be patient. See, it's a kind of world that we are living in. I know of people who, after they left the country, like this woman was talking about what's happening in Romania. And I'm not saying this to defame any country. But you find that they tell you, oh, send this and this, and we are going to process your papers. You send. Send the 1,000, you send. Send this, you send. Then now, when you go there, you find that the house you are working for is a trap. You can't come out. You can't come out. Your friend said, no, but I have a friend of mine. How long has he been there? That friend of mine has been there for 5 years. Have you ever asked why he has never been back? Or did they tell you that the reason, did he tell you that the reason why I'm contacting you is because I was also told to scam people so that they come here? Because if I didn't scam you, I was not going to come back. If people are going to invite you abroad, at least you should have evidence that they've been coming to Zambia and they've been going back. Don't just be excited. You know what I'm saying? There's a woman who was testifying about Romania, those things. So the point I make is the world has become, it's crippled. It's crippled. You need to be very careful. You need to be analytical because people have become unreasonable. People have become unreasonable. People have become unreasonable. And they themselves, the way they behave, they are like, even though they don't know, there's something that Jesus Christ said. Let me show it to you from the Bible.
Twenda na Yesu. Tenda na Yesu, tenda na Yesu.
This is important.
Tenda na Yesu.
These opportunities people bring to you. Now we've got this opportunity, you know, John chapter 3. We've got this job opportunity, or we've got this business opportunity. Be serious with your due diligence. Very serious. Very serious.
John chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 18, and it says, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Okay? In fact, when you begin from 16, that's when he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. All right? So God offered Jesus for the salvation of mankind. And then the Bible says in verse 18, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And then he says, "And this is the condemnation." He's defining the condemnation. "That the light has come into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Are you seeing that? So they know the light, but they forget Satan. These are now certified sons of Satan. There are those who are initiated, they made mistakes. But then there are those who, they have seen the light. They know the light, but they love darkness. Why do they like darkness? Because their deeds are evil. Now, why are their deeds evil? Because it's the only way they can make money. Why? Because they've got the love of money. So they love the darkness, not because they love the darkness, but because they have decided that for me, this is the only way I'm going to make money. So although they know the truth, they have become unreasonable. The things they do are unreasonable things. Why? Because they love darkness, and that's the way that they make money. It says they've seen the light, but they could not come to the light because they loved darkness. There are people who love darkness. And by darkness, you can tell by the deeds, the things that they sponsor, the things that they do. So they love darkness. That's what Jesus was saying. The words are in red here. It means it was Jesus who was saying them. They loved darkness. So Paul says, "Pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly, like it rain among you." Then he says, "And pray that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men." They've come to that place where they are unreasonable and they are wicked. See that? He says, "Pray that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men." For some people don't have the Christian faith. Some people don't have the things that have been taught. And although some people were taught, they don't believe. So Satan does not even need demonic. He doesn't need to spend demonic resources on them. They behave demonic themselves. That's where the world is. I'll give you an example. I want you to look at the book of... This will interest you. Acts chapter 13, verse 6. It says, "Now when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer." Acts chapter 13, I'm going to read verse 6 from the NKJV. It says, "Now when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus." Bar-Jesus, meaning son of Jesus, who was the proconsul, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But the sorcerer, Elymas the sorcerer, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Listen to this. Then Saul, who was called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "O full of all deceit, O you who's full of all deceit and fraud,
You son of the devil, you enemy of righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. So Paul cursed him. Paul cursed him. Because they are trying to preach, and this man is just stopping them from preaching. He's doing some to my arguments. It's like you're trying to go somewhere to preach the gospel. Then there's this man who they've appointed. What is Arno? These Pentecostals, they just want to come here and make noise. It's only demons that talk like that. A man that has been cultured in the ways of the Lord will say, oh, they're preaching the gospel. Wow, let me just find out which church. Who is your pastor? Okay, write a letter. Okay, do you have any videos, things that I can look at? I'll get back to you. One day later, I mean, they can do their due diligence. They know you are preaching the gospel. They will allow you. But there are people, the moment they hear you are coming to, they say you are making noise. And they are irritated. Son of the devil. You don't have to go far. Paul meets a man here who was a son of the devil. A son of the devil. And say it's the Holy Spirit who revealed to Paul that this is the son of the devil. Let me show you another son of the devil, because I want you to understand. So there are people, because of their experiences and where they've stood, they've accumulated a demonic mindset. A demonic mindset. They are sons of the devil. And in these last days, they are increasing. They are unreasonable and wicked. So even in your prayer, sometimes you need to move them out of the way. It's not just the powers of darkness. The powers of darkness work easily with them. But sometimes, even without the powers of darkness, they are children of the devil themselves. And they are wired to resist anything godly. You need to be aware of those people. Let me show you this. Let me show you this other scripture. Second Kings chapter 7. Let's go to the book of Second Kings chapter 7. Second Kings chapter 7. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, so Elisha has now gone to the king to give him the word of the Lord. At this time, before that, there was a drought which was so bad, a famine. In chapter 6, verse 24, the Bible says, and it happened after that, that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his army and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And indeed they besieged until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver and 1/4 of a cup of dove droppings for 5 shekels. They were eating animal droppings. That's how bad that was. And this is, at this point, it became so bad that women began to eat their children. There's this story, the Bible says, as the king of Israel was passing on the wall, a woman cried out to him saying, help my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord does not help you, where can I help you? Where can I find help for you? For the threshing floor, from the threshing floor or from the wine press? Then the king said to her, what is troubling you? Listen to this story. And she answered, this woman said to me, give your son that we may eat him today and we will eat your son tomorrow. That's hunger. You don't know hunger. You need to be grateful. You. Listen to this. They even mentioned the method of cooking the son. So we boiled my son and ate him. And I said to her on the next day, give your son that we may eat him. But she has hidden her son. That's a case for going to court for. Imagine, that's the kind of hunger that was there. It was bad. And in the next portion of scripture, the Lord now has mercy on them. And he wants to tell them what's going to happen. And it says, then Elisha said to the king, that is, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seer of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two seers of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. That means there's going to be a supply which is going to be greater than the demand. Now listen to this. Listen to this part. That's the part I want you to hear. So an officer on whose hand the king leaned, that means an officer who was wise and he would advise the king, like Elimas, but Jesus, okay, answered the man of God and said, look, even if the Lord would make the windows in heaven open, this thing cannot happen. He was fighting the word of the Lord. But guess what? The same response which Paul had is the same response that Elisha had. In fact, I'm convinced that Paul learned this from Elisha. He said, in fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Elisha was rougher than Paul. At least Paul just cursed him with a blindness for two pulls for a bit. That's Paul. But Elisha said, in English, he said, you are dead. Do you know who I am? I killed 42 youths. My youth 42, I just caught bears, and bears killed them. Two! What happened to this man is, the king now told him to go and man the gate. When the word of the king came to pass, when the word of the prophet came to pass, as he was at the gate, there was a stampede. People trampled on him, and that's how he died. And the word of the prophet was fulfilled, that he will see it, but he shall not eat of it. So there are people who you are preaching, and they are resisting the word. There's an anger that you need to have against them. There are people like that. You are trying to make progress, and they themselves, they are just standing in your progress. They are sons of Belial. They are children of the devil, especially things to do with the blessing of God. Now, there are people who do it out of ignorance, but there's some people you can tell they are standing in the way. Sometimes it's people. It's people. I want you to look at something. Are you learning something? It says, not in everyone is a faith. Not in everyone is a faith. I want you to look at the book of Acts, chapter 26. There's something interesting that the Lord Jesus said there that I want you to just observe. Acts chapter number 26. This is Paul talking to Agrippa and his delegation. Now he's recounting his vision and how he met the Lord Jesus. And this is what he said. Mm-hmm. So I said, who are you, Lord? That's Acts chapter 26, verse 15. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise, stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which you are yet to reveal to you. Now, listen to this. The first thing that Jesus promises him is this. He says to him, I will deliver you from the Jewish people. Okay. I thought he told him, he was going to tell him, I'm going to deliver you from principalities. But there are people who have a certain mindset that you need to be delivered from. He says, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles. I will deliver you from people. There are people who think a certain way. And sometimes God, you know, some of you need to be delivered from people. There are some of you who need to be delivered from friendships. Because those friendships have kept you a slave. You don't want to lose those friendships because you feel like, you know, I have a sense of belonging here. But the things that they are teaching you, there are people you need to be delivered from them. Some of you need to be delivered from some relationships. Ever since you got into that relationship, you've never been yourself. You can't seriously talk about prayer. You can't seriously talk about, you know, just things pertaining to the kingdom of God.
You need deliverance from that relationship. There are people that you will notice that the moment they leave you, you feel free, you feel light. I have had people like that myself. I really wanted them to stay in the ministry. The moment they left, I really wanted to help them because in truth, they're the ones who needed help. But they became a burden. And the moment they left, when the people left, then the sheep came. When the people left, even I, what? Sometimes you need to be delivered from people. Some of you, all you need to do is stop living with your mother. You know, if you stop living with her, that's when your love for her will even be better. Because you want to save, you can't save because your father is going to tell you, come back home. That's why Jesus at some point felt like he needed deliverance from his own parents. Now, these were good people. But he says, I'm about my father's business. What do you mean your father's business? You are going to go in the house and you are going to sit and you listen to us. He was 12 years old. And the Bible says he went back and he obeyed them. You can imagine they kept him. That's why at some point he said to them, ah, woman, why are you telling me to do this thing? I thought my time was not up. I'm sure part of that lesson came from them. It's not yet time. He wants to work a miracle. It's not yet time. Sometimes your parents can be weights. Weights. You know, sometimes you need to be honest with your boyfriends and with your girlfriends. If you've ever listened to me, I said to my wife, I said to her in public, I said, thank you for allowing me to do ministry the way I do it. You are playing with woman, you. Woman. When she's nicely angry, nicely. Nicely, not that, oh, we had our first argument and it was so cute. And she can't allow you to do ministry properly. She's a thorn in the flesh. Forget powers of darkness. The Bible says of women to men that your prayers may not be hindered. You had an opportunity before you were married to avoid her so that if you treat her a certain way because she treated you a certain way, your prayers are not hindered, but you insisted. And sometimes it's difficult to listen when you're in love. Aye. You're already in love. But you have seen the red flags. But they are looking cute. Because red is a color of love. And that's what happens to you when you're in love. Now you need deliverance from your own husband. You are not divorcing from your own wife. No. Unless under the circumstances that Jesus Christ gave. Amen. Praise God. So the point I make is, sometimes you need deliverance from people. Deliverance from people. There are some workplaces, I know it gives you a salary, but it's at the expense of your mental health. Some of you will notice that, yes, you may lose a certain amount of money, but you have gained your mind. You need deliverance from people. At least you are sane. You've not lost your mind because of the things you... Leon Sengole English will for maduducha. Inimbo shansele. Inimbo... And you have to be strong because that's your supervisor. There's nothing you can do. Deliverance from people. They are unreasonable. And many of them now, they are at a place where there's a spirit that empowers them to behave a certain kind of way. There's a story. Let me read you the final story then. We're going to close. This is an interesting story. The book of Acts. Let me read you an interesting story. Just get it. I didn't plan for these stories, but they are coming as we are. ear. Right, Acts chapter number 19. Acts chapter 19. Right. I'm going to read verse 21. The Bible reads, Acts 19:21 NKJV. When these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a time. And about that time there arose a great commotion about the way, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Diana. Now, Diana is a goddess, okay? A demon goddess that they worshipped. Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. He was the one who was linking them to houses where they need an idol. He called them together with the workers of similar occupation and said, men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade. Moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout almost all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they are not gods which are made with hands. Are you seeing that? Now, I doubt this guy himself believed that the things he was making were true gods. I don't think he believed it, because remember, his preface was that we have made no small profits from these things. He was into this for profit. Whether people believed in it was not his business. Him, as long as he was making money, that was his main interest. It's like people who make viruses. They make viruses for computers. I don't know if you've heard them. They make viruses for computers and the computers go viral just so that they can make an antivirus. Then they can sell. So you think they're offering you a solution? No, they're only offering you a solution because it offers them a profit. There are people like that. There are companies like that. Even when it comes to human health. But I'm not getting to those details. So it's not that he even believed in this same God. No, it was a profit. That's why he says here, men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade. Are you seeing that? So in verse 27, he says, so not only is this trade of ours in danger of falling into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised and her magnificence destroyed. He's lying about Diana. His interest is the trade and the money. Now, when they heard this, they were full of wrath. That's interesting. They were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. So the whole city was filled with confusion. Huh? And rushed into the theater with one accord, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, the Macedonians, Paul's travel companions. And when Paul wanted to go into the people, the disciples would not allow him. Then some of the officials of Asia, who were his friends, sent to him, pleading that he would not venture into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing after another, for the assembly was confused. And most of them did not even know why they went there. I want you to see that, guys, how can this small speech, when I read this, I wondered, how can this small speech send the whole city into confusion? And the word confusion is used twice, to the extent that some people did not even know why they joined. How? I began to read about this demon god called Diana. And one of the things that I discovered is that this is a goddess of wild animals and hunting. Wild animals and wild nature. So that means this was a spirit that would inspire wild behavior.
So when that demon god was called upon and was worshipped, because they said, great is the goddess Diana, that means worship was released into the realm of the spirit to this god. And when that happened, her true nature was summoned. And this is a spirit of wildness. That means she released, this spirit released a wild attitude into other people, and they just became confused and unreasonable like wild animals. So when you study this scripture, you find sometimes there's a spirit, and that particular spirit is a class. It's in a class of spirits that behaves a certain way. So that kind of confusion was sponsored by the spirit which was rendered worship. Brothers and sisters, we need to be aware of our environment. And I want all of you to be very cautious. Don't be naive. Even as we pray, we need to ask God to open our eyes to begin seeing which people must we stay away from. Now, some of them could be among us. I'm not saying let's suspect all the brethren who are being difficult. No. But I'm talking about people who are unsaved, people who are sons of the devil. Sometimes we need to be delivered from those people because they are unreasonable. And no matter what you do, there are these people who can't be pleased. Stop wanting to please them. Just do what you can do in your workplaces, in your schools. Just do what you can do and move on. There are people that just, they are impleasable. I don't know what word I can use. But sometimes we need deliverance from people. We need to be careful with these people. And there are some people that we need to say, in the name of Jesus, that person, come out of that position. We deprive you of that position. You don't deserve it. Because they are sons and daughters of Lucifer. You can tell by the unreasonableness. I mean, it's understandable when bosses are angry because the work was not done properly. But there are people who are just unreasonable. And you need to stop being naive. You need to begin seeing who are sons of the devil here. They oppose everything godly. They fight everything godly. They don't want anything godly. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we should take care of each other. You are coming from a prayer session. You had a cell meeting. I remember when we were students, we had the escorting crew. If we had a great time in the presence of God and we finished our service at 18 hours, at 19 hours, and there were some of our sisters who were staying in Handsworth, who were staying in Kalundu boarding houses, and we were staying in Kalingalinga back then when I was at Unza, and we had the escorting crew of gentlemen who would escort the sisters until they reached where they were reaching. No, and when they reach where they were reaching, then the brothers, as a chigundi, they come back. Don't just say, as a cell leader, when they will know. No, they are unreasonable men here, there. And sometimes the devil wants to frustrate the pastor so that you are asked, why didn't you pay attention to your sister? What happened? Now your whole cell is under questioning. Sometimes what you do, you call a taxi, you pay the taxi driver, or you get a young, or you pay. The person goes back into the house and they call. You make sure as a cell leader, or just as a concerned brother or sister, you say, when you reach, send us a message. We need to be responsible because we're in a world of unreasonable people. As a community, we need to care for one another. Check up on each other. You don't know these workspaces where people work. There's an unreasonable man whom they are falling in love with. And you only see it when they get married. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I hope you've been blessed. I'm going to pray for you now. We're going to say grace. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I decree and declare that the Lord saves you from unreasonable people. I decree and declare that the Lord gives you wisdom to discern unreasonable people and the power to cripple them out of the position that is hindering the flow of the gospel. May the word of the Lord on your lips begin to see the light of day. May it begin to grow mightily and prevail. May all the books and works of marriage in your sphere of influence be burnt, that the word of the Lord on your tongue and the ministry of the Lord on your life may grow strong, mightily, and prevail. By the
power of the Holy Ghost, I speak the blessing of the Lord over your life. I decree and declare that this new week that is coming, the Lord will give you wisdom to prosper in all things that you do. May your health be preserved. May you never suffer loss in the name of Jesus. And I decree and declare, this is still the week of prayer. We are going to pray intensely. The Lord is bringing out the week of prayer, and we are going to pray intensely this week. Hallelujah. So, the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. All right. God bless you. And see you next week.